Good morning and welcome to the Life Recovery Bible with Laura on City of Angels Radio. I hope everybody is doing well. It is a beautiful day that the Lord has made. If you have a Life Recovery Bible, you might want to join us as we pray the Serenity Prayer on page 1672. If not, you can just listen and pray along with us. And you know, I like to take a few deep breaths because deep breaths really are centering. And if you think about it, the breath is from God. It is God, you know, and we're communing with Him in the next few minutes. So a breath is the best way to do that. And again, you know, I'm sitting outside, so I apologize for any background noise that you might hear. But it is a beautiful day, and I encourage you to sit outside too if you can. So deep breaths. All right, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as Christ did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. And today we had our first day of live Bible study here at my home. And so some of the beautiful women that come to the study are here, and they may participate in this meeting. So if you hear extra voices, you're not hearing things. There are real people here participating. So then let's turn to A is an Apple 9 in the Life Recovery Bible, and these are the 12 steps and scripture. And does anyone else want to read any of the steps? I'll start with step 1 and the scripture. Step 1, I admitted that I'm powerless over my problems and my life is often unmanageable. And the scripture is from Paul, who writes to the Romans, and he says, I know that nothing good lives in me. I want to do what's right, but I can't. Trace?
Step 2. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Philippians 2:13.
Does anyone else want to read step 3?
Yes, thank you. Step 3, we made a decision to turn our wills and our lives over to the care of God. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. Romans 12:1.
Step 4, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And the verse is from Lamentations. Let us test and examine our ways. Let us turn back to the Lord.
Step 5. We admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. James 5:16.
Step 6. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up in honor. James 4:10.
Step 7. We humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. And the scripture is from 1 John 1:9, and it says, If we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness.
Step 8. We made a list of all the persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. Luke 6:31.
Step 9. We may direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. If you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar and someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer yourself to God. Matthew 5:23.
Step 10. We continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And the verse is from 1 Corinthians 10:12. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall.
Step 11. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Colossians 4:2.
Step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path, and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Galatians 6:1.
Thank you, ladies. So then we're going to look at the 12 gifts of life recovery. And if we've given our life to Christ, which means we accept Him, we want to do what He wants us to do, then we're in recovery, life recovery. And these gifts are available to us. We just have to acknowledge them and open them up. And these gifts are hope, power, character, clarity, security, abundance, wisdom, self-control, freedom, happiness, serenity, and peace. And hope is the first one. And the scripture is from Romans. And Paul writes to the Romans. And he says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because He's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love.
And 2. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. 2 Timothy 1:7.
3. Character. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Galatians 5:22-23.
Clarity. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. 1 Corinthians 13:12.
5. Security. Fear of the Lord leads to life, bringing security and protection from harm. Proverbs 19:23. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? Romans 8:31-32.
6. Abundance. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19.
Wisdom, the gift of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is a foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Proverbs 9:10. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He'll give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. James 1:5.
8. Self-control. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Romans 8:9. But the Holy Spirit produces self-control. Galatians 5:22-23.
9. Freedom. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Galatians 5:1.
Happiness. Make me walk along the path of your commands, for that's where my happiness is found. Psalm 119. The hopes of the godly result in happiness, but the expectations of the wicked come to nothing. Proverbs 10:2.
11. Serenity. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor worries about tomorrow. Not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. Romans 8:38.
12. Peace. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. John 14:27.
Thank you. I just love that peace that only Jesus can give me. I can't buy it. I can't shop for it. I can't eat it. I can't snort it. I can't drink it. I can only get it from Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So today, this week I've been praying for my oldest child, and one of my cousins from Georgia sent me this beautiful list of quotes, and today we talked about it a little bit in our earlier meeting, and I wanted to read some of these today, and maybe we'll share here, and if not, you know, the Holy Spirit's in charge, but I wanted to go ahead and read these, and maybe you can look them up on your own and read the footnotes. But they're about our children, they're about our lives, they're about our dependence upon God, trusting Him. You know, trust is a word we throw around lightly, but if I'm going to trust God, that means that He's the man, has nothing to do with me. And that is not easy in this world, to give that power and control over to anyone else. Especially with all the messages that we're inundated with, is that we have the control, we have the power, me, 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 us. But it's not anything to do with me, it's about Him. He's God. He is God. So these are some of the verses that Susan sent me. I will not be moved from taking a stand of faith. I will not be moved from taking a stand of faith. I will not be moved by what I see, hear, feel, or think. I will stand firmly on what God says about my children, my health, my finances, my loved ones, and myself. I walk by faith, not by sight. Right? That's what makes us a Christian, is that we're walking by faith, not sight. And how we can't get that hope without faith, right? They're interconnected. And we're so blessed as Christians to have that, those gifts of hope and faith. And I had to pray for the gift of faith for like 20 years. So it's not like I just was born with it and it was there. I was taught to pray for the gifts that I want to be realized in my life. And I prayed for that gift of faith because I saw what other Christians had. And, you know, better be safe than sorry. If I'm going to die and go to heaven, I want to make sure all my bases are covered. God is real. I needed the gift of faith. And now I can just feel and see and know all the many blessings from that faith. So the next scripture is from Proverbs 11:21. And maybe you guys could look up, you know, these scriptures and see if there's a nice quote for us or a footnote in our recovery Bibles, any of them that I read, really. Father, I thank you that our children are the seed of righteous and are delivered from adversity. And that's Proverbs chapter 11, verse 21. Father, I thank you that my children are the seed of the righteous and are delivered from adversity. And this goes back to the faith, right? And the trust in God. And this is Proverbs chapter 11, verse 21. And notice how we're reading it and praying it in present tense. Because really, God is. He wasn't then. He is now. He is living. And I'm able to say thank you that my children are the seed of righteousness and are delivered from adversity. And that's all because Jesus died on the cross for us. Are there any footnotes that you guys see for Proverbs 11:21?
Mm-mm.
Okay. No. I'm going to go on to the next one, and this is, maybe there'll be some footnotes for this. Exodus chapter 20, verse 22, and that's all the way in the front of the Bible in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 20, verse 22. It says, I thank you that my children honor their father and mother and grandparents. Exodus 20, 22. And I know what you're thinking. They don't honor me. They don't honor any seniors. They don't honor grandparents. But quite frankly, I think we forget that in our families of origin, and really in the, you know, there's a lot of Christians around us, and even other faiths have taught that you are supposed to respect your elders. So they know it. We know it. It's in our conscious. It's in our culture. There are very few cultures that don't ask people to honor their elders. So it is in their consciousness, and God is working on them and with them. Did you guys see any footnotes for Exodus chapter 20, verse 22 in the Recovery Bible?
No, but it was a... What was the reading from there?
It says, I thank you that they honor their father and mother and grandparents.
Because on this one, it's, again, 20, Exodus 20, 22. It's different. It's, and the Lord said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, you saw for yourselves, I spoke to you from heaven. Not to make idols, silver or gold.
Yeah, sometimes you know, the different versions of Bible will be different.
Yeah, so that's what it's saying is...
It can all relate somehow, some way. So the next verse then is from Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. So Psalm is kind of in the middle of our Bible. And 127 is towards the end of the book of Psalms, because there's 150 Psalms that David wrote, and Psalm means song. So not only did he write them, but he put them to music. And that is some praise and adoration of our God. And it's Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5, and it says, thank you that my children are a gift of the Lord, and arrows that go forth from our quiver to destroy the works of the enemy and forward the cause of Christ. Did anyone see any footnotes for that particular psalm?
No.
Okay. The next verse we have is the book of John, and it's chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Chapter 10 in the book of John, verses 4 and 5. So John 10, 4 and 5. And this is what John says. I thank you that my children are sheep who hear your voice, and another they will not follow. And I do believe that we had a Recovery Bible footnote for that. Tracy, do you have that?
I do. It's for 10, 1 through 5. The shepherd knows each of his sheep by name, and they know and respond only to his voice. In like manner, Jesus knows our personality, needs, feelings, and desires. He even knows our faults and our sins. Yet he still loves us. He calls to us and leads us in the way that is best for us, to be set free from the pain of our past. We must respond to the guiding voice of our shepherd, who knows us fully and loves us completely.
Thank you. And we did talk about that in our earlier meeting, that, you know, thank you that my children are sheep who hear your voice, and another they will not follow. Not only do we have that in the present tense, That we're saying that that is happening, and it is. Basically, we don't have to say it is happening. It is. Because we're Christian, our children know we're Christian, and parents, for what it's worth, that we have to be in counseling to undo all the damage that our family of origins do, at least that consciousness of maybe values that we've given them are probably in there just as good as the damage that may have been done. And the good news is that Jesus can heal us from that damage, but then, you know, the unconscious mind still knows that Jesus is the way, the life, and the truth. You know, if we've brought him up that way. If not, Jesus goes to look for that one lost sheep who may be one of our children. But there's always hope in our faith. So the rest of that verse was, I thank you that they are sheep who hear your voice, and another they will not follow, and that they hunger and thirst for righteousness. Right? Even the great philosophers in the world, they and Einstein and scientists, even they all agree there is something. There is something out there that's unidentifiable that is setting everything in motion. And that thing is good. And that thing for me is God, is my God. The next verse is Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Matthew is in the New Testament. And it's chapter 5, verse 6, and it says, I thank you that my children abound in loving kindness, and that they were not born for calamity, for they are the seed of those blessed by the Lord. This is so comforting to me because, you know, this isn't just another book assigned to me in school. This is the Bible. Like, and I believe the Bible. I'm right in line with it. And it's saying, I thank you that they abound, my children love, you know, they abound in loving kindness, and they were not born for calamity, for they are the seed of those blessed by the Lord. So the next verse, was there a footnote for Matthew 5, 6?
No.
Okay. So the next verse is Isaiah 65, 23. Isaiah 65, 23. It says, I thank you that you contend with those who contend with them. Wow. That's a good one. And that's Isaiah chapter 65, verse 23. Do you guys see any footnotes in the Recovery Bible for that?
There's 65, it's 17 through 25.
Good, that covers it. Could you read that?
The new heavens and new earth will be wonderful. There will be no pain, suffering, sorrow, or want. God will answer our prayers while we are still speaking them. There will be peace everywhere, even among the animals. While this level of blessing will not be achieved in this earthly lifetime, we can look forward to this in the next life if we are God's children. Recovery from our failures and sins will take away many of our pains here on earth. The coming in glory of God's kingdom will bring us joy forever. That's nice.
That is. That's comforting as well. I don't know if you can see where there's a verse in the Recovery Bible for Isaiah 65:23 that resembles anything around there that says, I thank you that you contend with those who contend with them. Do you see anything like that?
I will answer them before they even call to me while they are still talking about their needs.
I don't know. All these verses that my cousin has sent me, she's used a different Bible, of course, than we're using in the Recovery Bible, which is okay. I mean,
yeah.
There's all different Bible versions, and they may vary just slightly. And it's interesting, I just ordered a compilation that includes the Greek and Hebrew for the Bible. Because there's so many words that were used in the original text that really bring just new light and meaning. And it's funny because actually Kathy Lee Gifford is the one that told me about it. Told me, yeah, we were on the phone. But she was talking about how the versions of the Bible that we have today are so different than the original Greek and Hebrew text. And I think any learned rabbi or priest or someone that's studied biblical scripture, they would agree, because the words have such different meaning. Like, for example, I know that mountains, we hear in the Bible a lot where it talks about moving mountains, but I think the Hebrew word for mountain is a donkey.
Donkey.
And so that brings a whole new light to it. You know, like stubborn as a mule, and just moving the donkey, and these words, if Hebrew or Arab, what is it that Jesus spoke?
I don't know.
Oh, well, anyway, someone knows listening. But he spoke, you know, a certain dialogue of Hebrew. And so if that word mountain meant that, and Jesus told his parables or talked about the mule, and now we have the word mountain, you know, there's just so many different words and meanings that many people believe that it's just so necessary, and I do too, that we ask the Holy Spirit to allow us to hear what He wants us to hear when we read whatever version of the Bible we're reading, because obviously He's God. You know, He can get the job done, whatever He wants us to see and hear. So I'm just going to read a couple more because I seem to be expounding a little bit more than usual. So it says, the last one is Isaiah that I'm going to read today, is Isaiah chapter 49, verse 25. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 25. And it says, a thousand may fall. You know what? I have been, it looks like this might be, is that right? A thousand may fall at their side and 10,000 at their right hand, but destruction will not approach them. Do you guys have that for Isaiah 49?
49:25?
Yeah.
I have, but the
no, it's different.
So look at Psalm 91. In the middle of the Bible, Psalm 91. Please forgive me that I didn't look all these up in the Recovery Bible, everybody. Psalm 91, verse 7. A thousand may fall at their side, this does sound like Psalm, and 10,000 at their right hand, but destruction will not approach them.
Yeah, that sounds like a Psalm.
Yeah, Psalm 91, verse 7, if anybody wants to look that up.
Yeah. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you.
Is there a footnote for that?
Mm-mm. Ah. No.
So I'm just going to read these and quickly then. It says, I thank you that my children's tongues are as choice as silver. And that's Proverbs 10:20, and that they have hearts of flesh and not hearts of stone. Ezekiel 11:19. I thank you that as well as being diligent and hardworking, my children have self-control, great peace, and undisturbed composure. Psalm 119. One of the most important ones, and actually, if I'm doing any chaplain work, my prayer before I do that is that, please, Jesus, give this person a heart of flesh and not hearts of stone. And that is so important for my oldest child to pray that prayer. And praying scriptural words is very, very powerful, because we're just giving back to God what He gave to us. So how can He refuse that? So we also have, I thank you that as we seek your kingdom, all other things will be added unto us. And that's Matthew 6:33. And that we receive an abundance for every good work. I thank you that we receive all of our inheritance, the whole benefit of our salvation, soundness of body, soul, mind, and spirit in this life as well as for eternity. I thank you that you deliver us out of our afflictions, Psalm 34:19. I thank you that all of our needs are met in Jesus Christ. We are living stones and temples of your Holy Spirit, and we promise to live accordingly. I thank you that we are the righteousness of God because Jesus lives in us, 2 Corinthians 5:21, and we walk in a manner worthy of our calling. I thank you that we open our mouths in wisdom and that the teaching of kindness is on our lips, Proverbs 31:26. I thank you that we do not provoke our children to wrath. Ding, 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 ding. That's a big one for me. And I believe that is right after, honor your mother and father, that it says, but don't provoke the children. And that's a nice one to reflect on and to pray for me personally. You are, I thank you, Father, your word says that nothing is impossible for him who believes. Think about that. Your word says that nothing is impossible for him who believes. I thank you that great is your faithfulness and that nothing is too difficult for you. What you have promised, you are able to bring to pass. I thank you that it is settled, finished, and paid for by the blood of Jesus. He has overcome the world. Let's not forget that in every minute of our day. Amen. And let's close now with the, unless someone would like to share, anyone want to share anything that we've just read that's right here in the group?
I'll share that from when we spoke before, just how reading that, what we read, sometimes it's just our actions can speak louder than words too. If I pray in the morning to be a woman of God and to follow in God's footsteps, and I will call on the Blessed Mother to help me because she's so gentle and kind, to be an example, that if I can just go out into the world and just be an example and bring light to Christ just by, being a kind person or being kind with my children. And if I can really trust, and that's something I've got to pray on, I realize after this Bible study that God is in control and that he has my children's life in their his hands, and that, he wants more than I the best for them, because those are his children. They are a gift to me from him, but ultimately they're his, and so of course he wants what's best for them. So thank you, Laura, for that.
Thank you. I love the whole sheep analogy. And a wise sponsor, I've mentioned this before, a wise sponsor once told me that we're all on our own journey. And then I've heard along the line also that God doesn't have any grandchildren. So that is so comforting to me with my children. He is their shepherd. I'm not their shepherd. I'm just another dirty sheep waiting to get sheared, with the same fears, and I might have given birth to them or, took care of them for a while and all that, but he is their shepherd, and they are his sheep. And even if that one sheep goes away from a flock of 99 perfectly shared organic sheep, that look beautiful and they're washed pristine and cleanly, Jesus the shepherd will go and find that sheep that's tangled and dirty and running recklessly and without leadership that only the shepherd can provide. But really, it's just so comforting to know that we are all on our own journey. Our prayers are important. And I think the Holy Spirit will give us the words that we need to use with our children. But again, we're not the shepherd. And like Tracy said, our actions speak louder than our words often. And they will come back. It does say in the Word, they will come back. And St. Rita, she had that situation with her sons and her husband who came back on their deathbeds, but they came back because they knew, because she was strong and firm in her faith, just like St. Monica. And many, many saints who are living and breathing right with us now here today on earth. We just need to have faith and trust and hope and enjoy all those gifts of recovery. So, again, my apologies for some of the verses that don't match up with the scripture in our recovery Bible today. That's my fault. But we will be here again next Sunday. And I just keep you all in my prayers. And you guys can always email me. There's an email address on the City of Angels website. You can contact me with any feedback. I appreciate that. And I appreciate your prayers. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thanks for being here today with me, ladies. God bless everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
I never knew that I could feel so. came tumbling down, down. And my feet started to touch the ground.